Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/AOIS21. That is www.audibletrial.com/AOIS21. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Welcome to Between the Beltways, a political podcast series from the AOS 21 Podcast Network. Each month, your hosts, Dr. Deepan Chatterjee and Dr. Shreyasi Deb, will explore the races that will shape the central Maryland counties of Howard, Montgomery, and Prince George's in the upcoming midterm elections.
Hi, I'm Dr. Deepan Chatterjee. I'm a clinical psychologist by trade, who is interested in all things politics and political. I have written for several media outlets, including Huffington Post, Baltimore Sun, India Abroad, Psych Central, and so on. I'm now venturing into the world of podcasts. I have an MS and PhD degree in clinical psychology from Howard University in Washington, D.C., and a BS in psychology and mathematics from Bethany College in West Virginia. I also have a professional license as a psychologist in Maryland. I'm originally from Calcutta, India, and have lived in the United States for the last 22 years and counting.
And I'm Dr. Shreyasi Deb. I'm a policy wonk by trade with interest in all things political. I currently work for a large medical specialty society in Washington, D.C., where I lead the health policy team. I have a PhD in public policy from the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, UMBC in Maryland, an MBA from the International Management Institute in New Delhi, India, and a BSc in economics from St. Xavier's College, which is part of the University of Calcutta in India. I'm also originally from Calcutta, and I've lived in the United States for the last 10 years and counting. I used to be a blogger writing about lifestyle and talent management in India, and very excited to start this podcast.
We decided to do this podcast because of our interest in regional as well as national politics. We used to have discussions about politics all the time and decided that our background as immigrants from India would be important to giving a voice to our passion, as well as be an outlet to discuss the major political events of the day as we approach this very crucial midterm season in this country.
So the way this podcast is structured, we will discuss Central Maryland politics, especially from the districts of Montgomery, Howard, Baltimore, and Prince George's counties. We will touch on Maryland state policies and politics, and sometimes get into the Beltway. We will host a guest for each episode, someone who's either running for public office themselves, is a keen observer of the local political scene, or is an academician with expertise in politics and public policy. In this first episode, let us talk about the Maryland gubernatorial race. Our current governor, Larry Hogan, and Lieutenant Governor Boyd Rutherford, both Republicans, are running for re-election in 2018 for a second four-year term. Governor Hogan's election in 2014 was quite historic. He was inaugurated as the 62nd governor of the state of Maryland on January 21, 2015. He's only the second Republican governor in Maryland in nearly 50 years and the first Maryland governor from Anne Arundel County to be elected in over 100 years. He made policies that provided Marylanders with tax and fee relief. His administration in the last 4 years also focused on maintaining and improving infrastructure and further strengthening Maryland's top-class public education system. The Hogan administration has been a strong supporter of protecting the environment, which includes the health of Maryland's most important natural asset, something that we all Marylanders love, the Chesapeake Bay. As a public health professional, I closely followed Governor Hogan's steps to address the state's heroin and opioid addiction epidemic. Governor Hogan created the Maryland Heroin Opioid Emergency Task Force. In the 2016 legislative session, he acted on the recommendations of this task force, committing nearly $9 million in funding. He has also signed legislation to expand the state's Good Samaritan Law and Prescription Drug Monitoring Program, the PDMP, of Maryland. Governor Hogan is one of the most popular governors in the country right now, which is saying a lot for a Republican governor in a blue state. While a September poll puts his statewide approval rating at 61%, his support drops below 50% when he was stacked against some Democratic challengers. Governor Hogan has been trying to create a distance from President Trump. He said that he didn't vote for the president, and he criticized Trump's comments after the Charlottesville protests of last summer. Hogan also said last month that he will introduce a bill to counteract some elements of the federal tax changes. Even before Democratic candidates for governor take aim at Hogan, they'll be taking aim at each other ahead of their June primary. 8 candidates have already declared for this office, including elected officials like Prince George's County Executive Russian Baker, Baltimore County Executive Kevin Kamenetz, and State Senator Rich Madaleno, as well as outsiders like former State Department official Alec Ross and former NAACP head Ben Jealous. Recent polls show Baker as most competitive against Hogan, narrowly beating out Kamenetz and Jealous. But most importantly, the poll also found that almost half of Democrats aren't supporting anyone yet, which means that the Democratic race is wide open.
So another interesting race this time around is that of the Senate, where two-time incumbent Ben Cardin, a Democrat, is running for re-election for a third term. A little bit more about Mr. Cardin. He previously was a member of the United States House of Representatives for Maryland's 3rd Congressional District from 1987 to 2007, and of the Maryland House of Delegates from 1967 to 1987. He also served as the State House's Speaker from 1979 to 1987, and he was the youngest to hold that position in the history of Maryland. In his half-century career as an elected official, he has never lost an election. Cardin was elected to succeed Paul Sarbanes in the 2006 U.S. Senate election, defeating Republican Michael Steele, the then Lieutenant Governor of Maryland, by a margin of 54% to 44%. Pretty wide margin. He was also re-elected in 2012, taking 56% of the vote this time. He became the senior senator on January 3, 2017, upon Barbara Mikulski's retirement. In the crowded primary to unseat him, there are Democrats like Chelsea Manning, who was convicted by court-martial in July 2013 of violations of the Espionage Act and other offenses, after disclosing to WikiLeaks nearly 750,000 classified, sensitive, military and diplomatic documents, and was imprisoned between 2010 and 2017. Manning is a trans woman who, in a statement the day after sentencing, said she had a female gender identity since childhood, wanted to be known as Chelsea, and desired to begin hormone replacement therapy. From the Libertarian side is Vice President of the Libertarian Party, Arvind Vohra, who is also running for the Senate. And before starting his own educational business, he studied mathematics and economics at Brown University and then worked as an actuary for several years. He currently spends his time working as vice chair for the Libertarian National Committee. He is host of the Libertarians Working for You radio show. And he's a vocal advocate for defunding and downsizing government programs that limit the freedom of the American people.
So we are excited to welcome Dr. Calvin Ball. He's our inaugural guest. And Dr. Ball has been an active Democrat all his life and is currently the vice chair of the County Council of Howard County since 2016. He serves as a District 2 Howard County Council member, which includes the villages of Long Reach and Oakland Mills in Columbia, and portions of Elkridge, Ellicott City, and Jessup. In 2006, he made Howard County history when elected youngest chairperson and is now serving his fourth term leading the county council. Dr. Ball is a native of Baltimore area, born in Catonsville. He received his PA from Towson University, his master's from University of Baltimore, and then EDD from Morgan State University. In addition to serving on the county council, Calvin is a director of Complete College Baltimore, an innovative program on student completion at Baltimore City Community College. His service has been recognized through numerous prizes and awards, including the Richard C. McCauley Transformative Leader Award from the Horizon Foundation in 2016, the Marilyn J. Presner Public Service Award from the Maryland Association of Counties, and the Jenkins Odom Jr. Freedom Fighter Award from the Howard County Maryland branch of NAACP 2015, to name just a few. And Calvin is running to be the County Executive of Howard County. So welcome, Calvin.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
So my first question for you is, as county executive, what is your vision for Howard County?
Well, I think Howard County should be the very best place for people to live, work, or play, and to actually grow and become their best selves. There are lots of counties throughout the country, and Howard County has so many assets and resources that we should be the leaders, and we should be the example of not only what is, but what can be.
That's wonderful. So we are already pretty diverse. We are one of the richest counties. We have a stellar public school system, a library, public library system, one of the top in the country. How do you work around improving them even more? Because they're already there, sort of.
Well, it's true. We are quite diverse, but I think we have more work to do in being inclusive. You know, there's one thing to be invited to the party, there's another to be asked to dance. And so I think in our county there are people, whether it's based upon their religion, their race, their gender, who don't necessarily feel like they have the same opportunities and feel as safe and welcome as some others. And I think, yes, we have an excellent school system overall, but we have some work to do for all. When it comes to those on free and reduced meal, limited English proficiency, we have some work to ensure that they have all the resources that they need to be as successful as possible.
So I would like to mention here that you've done a lot for the Howard County Public School System, and you're also a parent. Your
yes.
wonderful daughters go to the Howard County.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. So. Yeah, which I think, you know, frankly, gives me a different perspective. You know, it's one thing as an elected official to invest in our public school system, which is important. But I think as an educator and as a parent of kids currently in the school system, I have insight into what's really going on. You know, what are the challenges? What are the opportunities? And what we really need to do to make substantive improvements for everyone.
All right. So my question to you is, what is your perspective on the race for the county executive so far? I was looking at the polls. I think you're slightly behind Alan Kittleman, right? About 6 points or so on the average of polls. So what is your perspective? What are you expecting from the race?
Mr. Kittleman is our current county executive, and he's running for re-election.
And, you know, what do you expect from the race? Are you hoping to win? So on and so forth.
So I've been hearing from a lot of people a deep desire for change, a deep desire for improvement, and wanting a leader who will move forward with the things that we value and we care about, and really set an example. You know, last year we celebrated 50 years for Columbia, a community that was built upon inclusion and opportunity and really being that shining example around the nation. And I think for the next 50 years, we need to start off with leaders who will embrace those values and really fight for what we believe in. I did a poll about a month ago, and many of my team thought, well, you know, Calvin, you might be about 10 or 15, maybe even 20 points behind because you're running from a district and, you know, there's an incumbent. And the margin of error was 4 points, and I was within 3 points. And I think what that shows is that as people are watching, not only in Howard County, but throughout the state and the nation, there's a desire for leaders who will stand up for the things that really matter. And I think that when the seas are calm, anybody can steer the ship.
Sure.
But when things start to get rocky, as we see emanating, you know, from President Trump all the way down, we need real leaders with real vision who will try to accomplish real things.
So, you raised a very important point. I think we are really living in historic times. I don't know how to put it, as you said, like these are difficult times also to live, and you know, a record number of women are running this elect for all kinds of offices across the nation. And as a woman and a woman of color, I think these are times of change and exciting times also. How and you've right now talked about inclusivity. How do you think within Howard County you would be able to include more women, more people of color into positions of authority or in positions which can share more opportunity for everybody?
Well, I mean, I think what we see is when people of color and women vote, Democrats win.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, as you alluded to, not only is there a record number of women running, but there's a record number of women winning.
Mm-hmm.
Because women are engaged, and I think women and people of color are recognizing the importance of not only looking at the table, but having a seat at the table.
Mm-hmm.
Not only living through the decisions that others make, but being a decision maker.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when women are engaged in the process, and people are elected, such as myself, as county executive, it's incumbent upon me to work with women to not only, now that we've won, but govern and have women in important positions. Because, again, back to the point of being inclusive, people who are diverse offer different perspectives. You know, whether it's a person with a disability, limited English proficiency, an immigrant, a person of color, a woman, there are insights that are offered so that all of Howard County can better serve. And when you have half, or maybe even more than half of the population, not having that face, not ensuring that our policies are furthering the best quality of life for women, the best opportunity for our mothers and our sisters and our daughters, we need to do better. And I think for Howard County, we can and will do better.
So one thing you were talking about, which I agree, there's, you know, the president has not been the best in terms of trying to help minorities or people of color as an immigrant, as immigrants. My wife and I, you know, talk to other immigrants, and we feel a sense of fear. So for the past little over a year and a half, we have felt, you know, real fear going to places I never, you know, imagined that we would. Even in Howard County, which is already pretty diverse. So, given that, you know, this is a historic race. I was looking it up, and it is my impression that if elected, you'll be the first African-American county executive of Howard County.
I'll be the first person of color ever to serve in that role for Howard County.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's what I thought.
That's very, very exciting.
So, yes, it is exciting, and I'm glad you had the courage to talk about the fear. It's quite concerning to me when people who aren't immigrants try to dismiss the very real fear that oftentimes this divisive rhetoric, not only from, you know, President Trump, but from others, when they say that, it makes people feel uncomfortable. And it not only makes immigrants and people of color feel uncomfortable, but it makes those of us who support the cause and who support an inclusive society, who support that welcoming community, feel uncomfortable. And we need leaders who will not just sit down and bear it, but who will stand up and fight for people, who will say that attacking people based upon their immigration status or religion is unacceptable. And I know that oftentimes it's sensationalized to look at some of the personal issues that Mr. Trump faces. But I think even more than that, you know, set those aside, even more than that, he's not a leader who shows the kind of vision and forethought and empathy and caring to really ensure that everyone in our nation feels welcome, especially those who are either underserved or who are a minority, and not just a minority by color, but if you go somewhere and you're a minority by religion or by immigration status or by gender, a lot of times you kind of need somebody who's going to stand up and speak out for you and say, this is going to be a place where everyone should feel free and welcome. And, you know, I think not only is it true that I would be, you know, the first African American, the first person of color, but I think that sometimes there's a certain level of insight that comes when you face challenges, when you struggled, when you felt targeted based upon something that has nothing to do with your ability or your character, but something by virtue of your birth. And I think that that insight, that empathy, that caring will help guide me so that when I serve all of Howard County, I can truly be that public servant for all of Howard County.
That's great.
That is a great message of hope, especially for people like us.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. So, who are your heroes in, apart from, you know, those in public service and political life? Who are your heroes?
Well, I mean, as I was growing up, I used to want to be a Supreme Court justice, so Thurgood Marshall was one of my heroes. Of course, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Angela Davis, Mahatma Gandhi, and I guess my biggest heroes would be my parents. You know, my parents are such incredible people. And it's funny, they're quite different. My dad is a visionary, someone who always asks, why not? How can we accomplish something? He's one of the most creative, charismatic people I've ever known. My mom is one of the most thoughtful, sensitive, caring people I know, who is logical, systematic, manages any issue, any problem. And I think having those two role models has helped me understand the importance of not only having that vision of hope or that vision of what can be, but being able to implement it so that that vision doesn't just fade away as a dream, but can become a reality.
That's great.
All right. So February is Black History Month. So I was just wondering, you know, how is that meaningful to you, to, I guess, all of us, in terms of your race, or more, you know, in general?
Well, I think it's easy sometimes to forget our history, and like we're finding in these times, if we forget our history, we're bound to repeat, and we're bound to repeat sometimes the worst elements of it. And Black History Month is a time to not only celebrate, but remember from whence we came, and see the struggles that got us here, and hopefully embrace that strength and that hope to take us to the next level. And the leaders who we often think about, like I just alluded to, you know, Thurgood Marshall, Dr. King, they're often celebrated throughout the year. But Black History Month is a time to maybe dig a little bit deeper, talk about the Booker T. Washingtons, the W.E.B. Du Bois, the Harriet Tubman, the Fannie Lou Hamers, the ones who are great leaders, great role models for all of our boys and girls who sometimes are forgotten, and remember the civil rights struggles, and tap into the strength that it took to overcome then, and maybe even use that strength to fight the civil rights battles of today.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I think that's a great note to end on. That was Dr. Calvin Ball running to be Howard County Executive, and this has been the inaugural episode of the podcast Between the Beltways. See you next time.
This has been Between the Beltways, a production of the AOS 21 Podcast Network. Find it each month on Podomatic, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, TuneIn, and our home on the web, audio.aois21.com. Keep up with the news between episodes on our Facebook at facebook.com/btbeltways, on Twitter at btbeltways, and on our WordPress blog, betweenthebeltways.wordpress.com.
Copyright 2018, AOS 21 Media, LLC. All rights reserved.
AOS 21 Media. What do you want your story to be?